Hello and welcome to this soundcast. In the next 10 minutes, you'll hear three stories about some rather eventful work days. In this first story, we hear from a bus driver who was given some advice on his first day. He was told, "Whatever you know about driving, forget." Do you think that's good advice for the driver of a public service vehicle?
And now Ted Shipman remembers the complications of starting work with the Midland Red in the 1930s. Driver training on Momaker Hill.
They took two or three of us out on a Sunday morning, plunked us in one of the buses, which they call the SOS, an old SOS. The pedals weren't forward drive like the ordinary vehicles, they was up and down. So consequences, it was all completely strange. Instead of pushing your foot forward for the gears and the brake, you'd got to push the up and down. Seats weren't adjustable. As a matter of fact, you sat on the petrol tank. There was a seat on the petrol tank, which you sat on. Off we went. Now, the first thing we was told, that whatever you know about driving, forget. You don't know anything about driving, you'll drive the Midland Redway. They placed a matchbox. Some placed the watches, but our particular instructor wasn't that keen. Placed a matchbox at the rear of your wheel, on a hill, and you'd got to start away from this hill in low gear without rolling back, because if you rolled back, you'd cruise the matchbox, and then you was failed. And as that, we was employed by the Midland Red. We didn't know the route. There was no route learning, although there was a conductor on. He was a new conductor. And we had to go over to Broughton Astley and Ollisthorpe and all that way round. Anyway, it was a bit of a nightmare, but that was my first day's work.
Ted didn't get much help on his first day, not even knowing what route to drive. He must have been a good driver, though, to do a hill start in such a big vehicle without rolling back and crushing the instructor's matchbox. Would you risk putting your watch behind the wheels of a new driver? The next story is about a tram driver in Leicester's busy centre. He describes the tram lines near the clock tower as Spaghetti Junction. It must have been a bit hair-raising for motorists trying to keep out of the tram's way, knowing that they can't stop very easily. Unfortunately, the driver of an Austin 7 found out the hard way.
I don't know whether you ever been across the tower in Leicester when all the tram tracks were all lying about. You've heard them talk about Spaghetti Junction. Well, it was like that on the tower, with tram lines, you know, going different routes, trams going different places, some stopping, some coming back, and all that last. It would all go like this. But when your first day on your own, you wondered to yourself, how the hell am I going to sort this lot out? But I liked them. A lot of motorists didn't know. They used to give you a wide berth, a lot did. Of course, there used to be the odd cheeky one. They used to get squashed. Oh, yes, I've seen some pretty decent accidents in Leicester, especially with strangers. Well, this silly bugger, this afternoon, there was a tram stuck down against Harford Street corner, and this bloke, you remember the little Austin Sevens, this bloke, he come creeping down on the offside of these trams. And, of course, I was preparing to stop, you see, which you have to do. Greg, you can't stop straight away because they're that big and heavy and your braking system's crude. Anyway, he nips in between the two trams. And I thought myself, well, this bloke's going to come unstuck because I can't do no better than I'm doing. And it squashed it and he popped out the top. I thought myself, well, I'm sorry, mate, it's just your bloody chips.
It must have been a tricky first day at work on the trams, working out how to drive it, where to go, and how to avoid the odd cheeky car. But if you think the last two speakers had eventful days at work, the final speaker almost didn't make it to the end of his working day. An unusual technical problem in a mine shaft almost caused an accident. But shouting two words saved the day.
We had a pump installed in what was called the well shaft, and it had a Beresford submersible pump in, and it went for Must have been about 100 years, something like that, this submersible pump. Eventually it broke down. Well, the water that was coming through the brick joints in the shaft, it was hitting the other side, and it was like this all the way around. And the senior surveyor came from Culloden. He and I went down this smoky shaft, and there was no signals or anything on the cage. So we went down, and you had a gong and a hammer. And when you hit the gong once, it was to lower. Two was to raise. Three was to stop. Anyway, we gave it three on the gong, and it stopped, and all this water was just below us, all hitting the sides from all sides. It looked really horrendous to view it. He had a look and said, "Have you seen enough?" "Yes." "So, okay, we'll go up." Well, to raise was two, to lower was one. And I gave it one on the gong, and when I went to hit it again, the hammer head came off. So, in other words, we were heading for this water. we had to shout, and with the noise from the fan and all that, it was very difficult. But fortunately, they did hear us. And the signal for shouting in that day and age was T-U-O, because it was found to carry a long way, especially in shafts and tunnels. Yeah, so that was one to remember.
Can you imagine what the speaker must have felt like as the hammerhead came off, when he'd only struck the gong once, and instead of going up, the mine cage was going down? Try shouting T-U-O. Do you think it carries a long way? We're nearly at the end of this soundcast. Do you have stories about your first day at work? Have you heard the phrase, never a dull moment? Were there any eventful days at your workplace? This soundcast is part of the Sounds Familiar project, in partnership with the British Library, Leicester University, National Lottery Heritage Fund, and Leicestershire County Council. Bye for now.